Well, good morning. There's a few that are paying attention. Well, good morning. It's great to have you all here, and welcome to Sojourners class. Again, we want to go ahead and begin. Great to hear such lively conversation. I have the sense that everybody's been cooped up for a while, and you've been set free. Yeah, it certainly has been quite a week, hasn't it? It seems rather odd, but great to see the sunshine again, and great to see all of you here this morning. Let me just mention one thing by way of announcement. Obviously, next weekend is SOLA conference, and there will be a Sunday school class meeting in here, and then there will also be a Sunday school class meeting over in the South Building. And you know, when you register, you pick one or the other, but I'm sure you're free to go to whichever class you want to. Again, just kind of a reminder on refreshments and how that's going to work. The church is going to be providing all the refreshments, so you know, none of you need to bring anything. However, what is going to be needed is some help restocking the refreshment tables between hours, and then some help with cleanup afterwards. And so if you could, you know, give that some consideration, if you are free to help out with that, it would be much appreciated. The person who's going to be coordinating everything is Beth Turnbull. I think probably most of you know who Beth is, but Beth will be the one to see if you want to lend a helping hand and need to find out what to do and where to do it. Beth would be the one to help out with that. So that's next Sunday. Let's see. Well, who's got praise items or Thanksgiving? Anybody got anything you want to share? Lord, do anything exciting, anything special? Everybody just been cooped up by yourselves? Carol? Ah, okay. Great. All right. Dave. Okay, so this was like an ataxia, was it a seminar kind of thing, or is it a...
Well, I'm doing a fundraising seminar.
Okay.
In March, so this was just telling people in my club about it.
Okay.
And that went good.
All right. So again, some of you may not be aware, Dave has a disease that's called ataxia, and what he was just sharing was that... he had a get-together. He has a fundraiser that's coming up and was meeting with some people, and it was very well attended and went very well. So we thank the Lord for that and appreciate his grace in that. So. Anyone else? Yes. Okay. Thanks for that reminder, Randy. I know that Carla has been listed in the prayer sheet that's available up in the foyer for quite some time about the fact that her knee has not been healing properly. So we definitely need to remember her. Some other prayer requests that I'll mention. I spoke with Tom Breer just a few minutes ago, and he said, "I've got to leave now. I'm heading for India." But Tom is heading to India on a business trip and is going to be over there about a week or so. And he would like our prayers for safety and travel and just for his time there. And I think certainly that the Lord would give him an opportunity to share Christ while he's on that trip. Also, Tagore's wife, Chitra, you remember she had serious surgery months ago. I guess it's been close to a year. Yeah. And since that surgery, she's been battling high blood pressure and has had all different kinds of medication, and they've just been having a lot of trouble getting the blood pressure down. And he said that she's now feeling discouraged and depressed because of the fact that she doesn't seem to be making progress with that. So please lift her up in your prayers. And then I'll mention, too, Daniel Jones. We've been praying about him, and it looks right now like surgery is likely. And Rocky said Wednesday there's going to be a meeting with doctors to determine a course of action. But right now it looks like surgery is probably going to happen. And in Rocky's word, that's a big deal. This is really a serious, serious matter. So we just need to continue to pray for Daniel and for Becky. Any other requests? Okay. All right. Well, let's turn to the Lord in prayer, and then Rocky will come. Father, as we bow before you, we just want to acknowledge our sense of being overwhelmed with your greatness, with your goodness, Father, with your power, with your majesty. Father, there is no one like you. There is no other God besides you. Father, when we think about ourselves, when we think about our own sinfulness and our own rebellion, how grateful we are that you have rescued us, that you have set your love on us, even when we were your enemies, and that you have given us life in Christ. Father, we are deserving of your absolute worst, and yet you've given us your absolute best. And we are grateful for what you've done in our lives and what you're continuing to do through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, this morning we just offer you our praise for Carol's family and their adventure in Haiti and obtaining these children. And Father, we just pray that you would bless them and provide for them and take care of them in every way, that that these children would have an opportunity to hear about Christ because they're raised in a Christian home. And Father, we just pray your special blessing on them. And Father, we thank you for giving Dave success in the ataxia awareness event and the opportunity to share about the disease and to talk about this fundraiser. And Father, I just thank you for your blessing in that. And Lord, too, we just thank you for Tom Briere and just thank you for the part that he plays in this class and just for the friendship that we have with him. And Father, as he's apart from us for a period of time, we just pray your special blessing and pray that you would give him safety and travel as he heads to India. But Father, more than that, we pray that you would really use him as your ambassador, that people that he sits next to on the plane, people that he interacts with as he does business in India, that you would provide an open door for the gospel and that you would give Tom wisdom and grace, that you give him the very words to say to point people to you. And Father, for Chitra, we just thank you for the way you've worked in her life, the way that you have enabled her to have that kidney operation and brought her through that successfully, the way you've answered prayer. And Father, now we pray regarding this blood pressure situation that you would be pleased to bring relief and a return to normal blood pressure levels in her heart, in her life. Entrust her to you. But Father, most of all, we pray for her spiritual heart and pray that you would lift her spirits, that you would cause her eyes to turn to you, that she would recognize her complete and utter dependence on you and would find you to be sufficient for every situation in her life, that you might be glorified. Father, we just our heart's desire is that you would heal her to the point that she would be able to come here to the States and be reunited with her husband. And so we just entrust her to you. Father, also for Daniel Jones, we just want to bring him before you again and the seriousness of his situation. And we just entrust him to you. And Father, as this meeting takes place on Wednesday and there's discussion about what to do and when to do it, we just pray that you would be leading in that whole process, that you would be pouring out your grace to Daniel and to Becky and that your will would be done in his life. And Father, we simply pray your protection over him. and ask that your purposes would be accomplished and achieved. Pray that Becky would know your peace and your comfort, and that you would even give her the opportunity to offer a testimony of your grace, testimony of Christ, and the interactions that she has with people in the medical profession. And Father, too, we just thank you for your work in Carla Martinez's life. And while she's been on a difficult path with the recovery from her knee surgery, we do pray that you would be gracious to her, that you would bring healing to her, that you'd bring comfort to her. And again, that you would just protect her from being discouraged, but that she would just rejoice in you and in your goodness. And Lord, we pray that you would take care of her physical needs, and that you would just take care of her spiritual needs as well, that you would keep her eyes focused on you, that she would recognize your sovereign control and would just rejoice in your goodness. So we entrust her and her family to you. And Father, we just, again, thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather here together this morning. Thank you for the way that you feed us, the way that you teach us. And we pray that you would use Rocky toward that end this morning. We thank you for his time of study, and we pray that you would just enable him to communicate to each of us with your Spirit's power, that we would be encouraged, we would be challenged, and ultimately that we would grow in a way that would bring you glory and honor. And so, Father, just thank you for granting us this time together, and we commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll focus on Psalm chapter 37. Psalm 37 is where we'll spend our time. Maybe a familiar psalm to some of you, and actually with Tom's message this morning, it's very, very well timed because it fits really nicely with what we learned about the Apostle Paul, even in the challenges of life that he faced on this earth and the opposition from so many in authority. Let me ask you this question. As you look at the direction our culture has been going and continues to go, does it cause you some level of concern? Yes. Okay, now we're not going to get into all of the elements of that, okay, because I'd be afraid what some of you might say. But generally, as you're talking about that, there are all kinds of issues that we face in our culture, not the least of which is just the moral decay of our nation and all of the implications of that. And no doubt that some of you have strong opinions and concerns regarding the political arena and things. But this psalm really addresses that in, I think, a very appropriate way. It addresses the things that we can challenge, we can struggle with in our own lives, living as believers in a wicked world. And how do you face that? And how do you respond appropriately to that? And how do you accomplish God's objectives in the midst of that? And so Psalm 37, I think, gives us some very clear direction. No doubt, there are some things in our culture that could make some of you a tad bit aggravated. Is that fair to say? Borderline angry? All right. Frustrated. I mean, those kinds of things can happen. And the believer can actually find themselves drawn to those things, increasingly frustrated and agitated, to the point where they're not busy accomplishing the things that God has clearly instructed them to do. Very easy to fall into that pattern. And so we want to talk about that in Psalm 37. In this passage, we'll look initially on some things that the Scriptures, this psalm particularly, warns us things not to do, as well as things that we must do. And then as we progress through the passage, we're going to start jumping around a little bit more, and we're going to start looking at what are the characteristics of the wicked, what are the consequences for the wicked, and then we're going to look at what the characteristics are for those who are believers, or the righteous, and then what the consequences are for those who are righteous. But initially, we're just going to talk about some things that the psalm says do not do or to do. And beginning in Psalm 37, verse 1, it's a psalm of David. And it says, do not fret because of evildoers. Do not fret because of evildoers. Now, that word fret, I think, is helpful to think about what it means. It means to be angry, to become hot, or it can be to be kindled. That is, you know, when you light a fire and you know, you're just getting it going and there's just that kind of smoldering going on. Do not fret. Don't become angry. Don't become hot. Don't get kindled. Don't let the fire start growing in your inner being because of evil doers. Those who are wicked or those who are doing things that are displeasing. Now, I mean, that's a pretty short statement that carries a lot of punch, because isn't it easy to turn on the evening news or whatever and just start getting just boiling towards the things that are going on? I mean, become intense in our own hearts and frustrated. And David says, and you guys know David had been in the midst of much difficulty, both by those who should have been on his side as well as those that weren't. And, of course, the Apostle Paul faced the same thing. Don't fret because of evildoers. And then it says, be not envious toward wrongdoers. That is, envious is to have a jealous disposition. Don't be jealous towards those people that are doing things wrong, that are unjust, they're unrighteous, they're wrong, they're perverse, they're wicked. Don't be envious. And you guys, is it not easy to look at times at the wicked, and the wicked seem to prevail? And the wicked seem to succeed, and the wicked seem to have so much going their way, and they may be dishonest in every respect. They may not have what appears to be a moral bone in their body, you know, living in perversity and yet enjoying the pleasures of life and succeeding financially and having what appears to be all of the benefits. David says, don't fret, don't become angry. Don't be kindled because of the evildoers. And then don't be jealous of those that are doing things wrong as you look and you wonder, you know, look at me, I'm struggling along here, and then look at them. Look at all they're doing, and yet look how life is going for them. Don't do that. In verse 2, he makes a statement, and we're going to revisit this later in some other verses. He says, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. They will wither quickly like the grass. And you guys around here in Texas, you know what that's like, is the spring is coming and it's going to be so beautiful, isn't it, as things turn green. And how long is that going to last? Yeah, it depends on how long you water, you know. I mean, just that fast. And when it talks about fade like that green herb, it's talking about just that fresh little grass that comes, and then it dies. It just dies. Oftentimes, I think we get so consumed with our life and the length of our life that we fail to see things from God's perspective. that God is dealing with all things. And that's what this psalm is going to make clear. God is not out of control. Sometimes we fret because while we would not say it, we have this sense that God is not directing things right. Evil is winning. Because evil is not winning. Evil is not going to win. There's going to be times of prosperity for the wicked, and they're going to feel secure as though they can live and succeed apart from God, but they won't. And that's what this psalm is going to make very clear. And you guys, when we start to react to wickedness as though God is not under control, I mean, our hearts can get pretty stirred up. And we're going to see as this psalm progresses that we could start talking and acting in a way that is not the way a believer is supposed to speak and act. And so don't fret because of evildoers. Don't be envious because or toward wrongdoers for all that they have, because they're going to pass away. Now, he's going to speak of some things that we are supposed to do. These are things that we must do as those who believe in God. And the first one in verse 3 is trust in the Lord. To set one's hope and confidence in the Lord. Now, if your security is based on the political system, the moral climate, the economy, you're in big trouble. Because you're just going to go up and down like a yo-yo. You just will. But the psalmist just makes it clear. We need to trust. We need to have hope and confidence in the Lord, Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God. And if your confidence is in Yahweh, if you really feel secure in the Lord, if you feel secure in God and God's plans, God's sovereign control, see, your heart will rest knowing that God will never fail in fulfilling all of His purposes in your own life as well as our country and this world. But He says, trust in the Lord. And then the second thing He says is do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Well, let me just remind you that it is easy to get caught up with all of the peripheral things and become very agitated, very frustrated, even angry towards all of the things that go on around us, and then to fail to be busy doing the things that we know God wants us to do. Even as Paul was in prison, a great example. You guys, what could he have been doing while he was in prison? I mean, in the flesh. Complaining? Man, yes. I mean, did he have some great things to complain about? Come on, just give me a few. Tom gave us some good ones. What are some things he could have complained about? Pain. Yeah, unjust accusations. What else? Freedom. You know, claustrophobic, you know. It was cold. Because I'm sure the list could have gone on and on and on. Always chained to somebody. But he didn't go there. You guys, there are plenty of things that you and I can complain about. We can complain about a lot of things. And it can relate to just us personally and our comforts or our finances. It can relate to our country and the political system, or it can relate to the moral climate. You and I can complain day and night. But Paul said in Philippians, do all things without complaining and grumbling. Don't do that. And he was a great testimony of that. Trust in the Lord and do good. Kidner, commentator, says this: an obsession with enemies and rivals cannot be simply switched off, but it can be ousted by a new focus of attention. Note the preoccupation with the Lord Himself expressed in the four phrases that contain His name here. It includes a deliberate redirection of one's emotions, and take delight, like Paul and Silas in prison, singing as well as praying. It's an entrusting of one's career to go your way. It's a reputation, your vindication. And he says, in this there is liberation. That is, in the refocus of the believer. Be careful that your mind is set as it ought to be set in the midst of all of the circumstances of this life. So trust in the Lord and do good. That is, to do that which is joyous, pleasing, desirable, usable, suitable, and lovely. Lovely for those who are in Christ. That's what we're supposed to be busy doing. All of those things that we know will please our Lord above all other things. And then he says, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. To dwell is to be settled, to be established. Now, not that this is our home and we're not looking to the future, but God has you here in this country, in this city, in this church, and he's saying, while you're here, cultivate faithfulness. Now, let me ask you, for those of you who have kids or grandkids, are you concerned for them for the future as you look at our country? You know what the best thing that you can do? Teach them how to really worry and get mad. No, what's the best thing that we can do, you guys? Pray. Cultivate faithfulness. Teach them what it means to be faithful to the Lord. Folks, can God sustain them in the midst of a perverted or a corrupt society? Of course he can. Of course he can. And so the issue is not, oh my, what's going to happen to them? Oh my, how are they going to make it? The issue is that you and I learn to trust in the Lord, do good, dwell here, and cultivate faithfulness. Teach faithfulness. Don't be panicked. Don't live in fear. Is God not bigger than that? Cultivate faithfulness. Teach our children, teach our grandchildren what it means to live simply day by day in a way that is faithful to God, trusting God, doing good. I fear that we can get so caught up with all of these other things, worry like the unbeliever worries, and fail then to accomplish the things that God says to fail. God can handle all of this. God can take care of our children. God can take care of our grandchildren and great-grandchildren. He can do all of that. Dwell in the land, cultivate faithfulness, firmness, steadfast, fidelity. And then in verse 4, this is one of those verses that can really, really be abused. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, this can really be abused, can it? Man, I love you, Lord, and I would really like. You know, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, there is a priority here how this is written, right? This is not about selfish pursuits, is it? I mean, the whole picture here of delighting in the Lord has to do with, I often use the picture of a child I use with my grandchildren is that, you know, you're holding their hand and they do pictures, or, you know, the grandkids do the pictures for us all the time. They want to please us. They do these special little things to please us. And we love it. We just love it. Sometimes they don't draw the lines and things like that, but we still love it, right? Because they're desiring, they're trying to please us. Well, this whole idea of delighting yourself in the Lord is that your trust in God, your confidence in him is such that more important to you than any other thing on this earth, whatever's going on, more important to you than any of it is that your life is pleasing to your God. That your life is pleasing to your God. So more than any other thing, when it speaks of this delight in the Lord, it means that you're focused. You're not caught up with all of the peripherals. You obviously are aware and you know to pray and do those things that are appropriate where the Scripture instructs us. But your delight is in God. You want to please him. You want to honor him. You want him to be exalted in your life. And it says, as you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of the requests of your heart, those things from the inner man. But you guys, here's the deal. It's like prayer. For the person who's walking with the Lord, is prayer simply an avenue for me to get my will done on earth?